All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Rebunked. My name is Scott, coming at you live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. And I got an awesome show for you guys tonight. It's going to be a really, really fun conversation. But before we get too far into it, I just want to take a quick moment, tell you guys how you can follow and support the show. Of course, all the links to follow the show, support the show, are at rebunked.news. Rebunked.news, you know what I'm saying? Oh, this is really cool. So, like, I'll get to it in a minute. So anyway, you got all the affiliates. You got Richard Grove's Autonomy. You got TRS, Truth TRS, Heavy Metal Detox, TruthTRS.com. Click the links. Go to these pages. You know, season 11 of Autonomy is about to kick off. So if that's something that interests you guys, you've heard me talk about it. It's a fantastic program that I went through, learned a lot. If you click on that link and go through the obstacle course to see if it's something that you'd be interested in, then that helps the show. Of course, the Zeolite Heavy Metal Detox Truth TRS, that helps the show when you click that link and get some of that. And then the T-shirt shop, the link right there, and then the Give, Send, Go. If you just want to drop a tip in the tip jar, that helps the show quite a bit. You know, there's other value for value donation options there. Somebody dropped some Bitcoin in my wallet. Whoever was out there, thank you. I don't know who it was, but I shouted it out last week. I was like, all of you Bitcoin bros that are making millions out there, if you want to help your boy out a little bit, somebody did. I don't know who you are, but thank you. That was freaking awesome. That was a big surprise, and I'm very grateful. So, yeah, if you guys are out there rolling in Bitcoin dough and you want to get value out of the show, you can return the value in the form of Bitcoin. You can if you want, you know, Ethereum. Anyway, all the social medias are on there too. Just follow along. Pretty much Rebunked News everywhere. That's how you stay up to date with the show. I'd say Telegram is probably the best way to stay up to date with the show and to chat. Like, if you want to, like, chat with me and the people, the followers, then that's a good place to go end up. And then all the video and audio platforms. Yeah, so head over to Rebunked News, find out ways to subscribe. Another great way, like I mentioned a minute ago, is the T-shirt shop. If you guys want to get a T-shirt, that helps support not only this show, but a liberty-minded T-shirt shop out of Beaverton, Oregon. Shout out to Big Frog T-shirts. They're awesome. They do my shirts and a whole bunch of other people in the truth movement. And again, I know it's about to be springtime, but $30 for a hoodie, you can't get a $30 hoodie anywhere else except here, right? So you got the IC false flags. You can get the freaking compliance is violence shirt. I like that one because it's a play on their silence is violence term, right? But no, compliance is violence, folks. When you go along, then that's when all the chaos ensues, right? So we can end all of this right now by not complying. You know, it's pretty easy stuff. So you can represent that in whatever's coming here. Oh, and the Fauci gave us all AIDS sweatshirt. You know, you can't miss out on that, right? Go wear that to your local hospital, see what happens. It's a lot of fun. I have people showing me video testimonials of them wearing the Fauci gave us all AIDS sweatshirt or t-shirt to a hospital and how that ensued. Pretty funny stuff. So, of course, we got ladies' shirts. We've got hats and hoodies or beanies, hats and beanies and stickers. Rebunked.news/shirts, you guys. And then last thing I want to shout out is the Substack or rebunk.substack.com. This is basically the best way to stay up to date with the show. This is the email list. This is how you get notifications about anything upcoming with the show, live streams that are coming up, and any announcements with the show, premium content, that sort of stuff is going to be here at Substack. It's free. It's basically my email list. So if you just sign up for free, that's how I can stay in touch with you in case anything, you know, in case I lose whatever voice I have anywhere. At least I'll have you on an email list. There's also a way to do a $5 a month subscription on Substack. So that helps support the show. So again, if you get any value out of the show and you want to return that value, like if you become a $5 a month subscriber on Substack, that really helps a lot. So just want to encourage you to do that. Otherwise, it is free to sign up for. Just sign up so that you can get notifications and then come hang out with us when we have an awesome show. So that's pretty much what I got for the evening. So without further ado, we're going to bring in my buddy Gene, lead singer and lead writer for Faithless Town, an amazing band out of Atlanta, who I've had the privilege of meeting in real life. And Gene, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, Scott. It's great to be back on.
Oh, man, it's good to have you. So last time I had you on, it was like a big round table with a lot of the freedom musicians. So this is cool for us to like finally just connect one-on-one here. So, man, yeah, you want to tell the folks a little bit about yourself before we get too far into it?
Sure thing. Yeah, so I'm a singer-songwriter, like you said, based in Georgia. Faithless Town has kind of been the moniker for my musical endeavors for the last decade plus. We formed in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're still going strong. Our newest single is Woke Town, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on in this broadcast. That came out at the end of January. Yeah, man. That, you know, I think last time I was on, we had a whole panel of like Frank Kavanaugh from Tool and or from Filter.
Filter, yeah.
And Brad from Five Times August. Brad actually appears on Woke Town as well, okay, along good. With kind of a slew of other collaborators like Tim Thompson, my songwriter friend from Savannah, Georgia, and Mano Elia, who is he has his own podcast called The Study of Stuff. And yeah, it was just man.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, I had a couple of those people follow me today on Instagram. So now I know. Now I'm putting all the pieces together. So there you go. Shout out to Tim and what is it? The SOS podcast, I think it was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So good job. Good job, man. I love the collaboration aspect of this, of music, man. It's like it's so emblematic of just everything in what we're up against in the world. Like, we can't do any of this alone. Like, we have to have community. We have to come together. It's like, you know, just music in and of itself. Cause you know, I'm a musician too. It's like each person has their individual role in the band, right? Like, you could have the greatest drummer in the world, the greatest bass player in the world, but if he's just sitting there playing the bass, that's going to get boring kind of quickly. You could have the greatest guitarist in the world, but it's like, you know, yeah, it's probably awesome for a little bit, but like this symbiotic, like, magic that happens when they all come together and put their talents together. And then the explosion that comes out of that, it's the whole is greater than the sum of any of the parts or whatever, however that expression goes. You know what I mean? Like the sum of the parts is greater than any of the whole added together. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like this exponential, beautiful thing that happens. And so the collaboration aspect is where I think the real magic happens. Like, when you bring in other people that are working on different aspects of different projects, you bring them together, then something even more intense happens. What, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And people, you know, other musicians and artists can kind of hear things in your song that you would have never thought of.
Yeah.
You know, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Which is definitely, you know, something that I've experienced in the past, like collaborating with, you know, different guitar players or keyboard players, or even we did a song on our last record called Shelter, and I had this lady, Jade McCray, who she's an incredible soul singer. She's from, I think, originally Australia, but she tours with Joe Bonacia. I forget that guy's name. He's like this shredder. Do you know this guy that I'm talking about? He's like in that vein of like Steve Vai and Yngwie.
Yeah. Joe John Bonamassa or whatever.
Yes,
yeah. How do you pronounce his name? Yeah. That guy. He does more like blues kind of, isn't he? Like kind of like,
yeah,
blues-y,
but he's kind of
shredding.
I think he's
shreddy
still,
blues.
He's shreddy blues. But yeah, she sings in his touring band. And she sang these like amazing, soulful, like Gimme Shelter-esque vocals on our song and brought really just elevated it, you know, gave it that like that late 60s, early 70s, like soul vibe that I envisioned in my head, but I could have never pulled off those vocals. But just having her be a part of it, you know,
nice.
It's just part of that collaborative process. Also on that same record, I collaborated with Winsome Kind, which is a folk duo from Canada, and Leora Joy Perry from that band put these amazing vocals, and we kind of on one of the songs Bride, and we did this duet together. So
yeah,
that's the cool thing about the digital age, right? Yeah. Like, as much as it's been, it kind of like a lot of people feel very alienated, and I would say social media and the advent of the internet has made people feel more disconnected, even though it should make us feel more connected that we can communicate like you and I are right now. Yep. Across, you know, we're like hundreds of miles away from each other, but we can be in this moment on screen communicating. But like, that's like the positive thing that the internet and social media can bring us, is finding like-minded people and being able to collaborate across great physical distances.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. I mean, I talk about that all the time. Like, it's like the idea of like the barrier for entry for all of these things that we do has been completely eliminated. Like 40, 30 years ago, in order to put out an album that would actually reach anybody or a single, you had to get a record label, you had to get signed, you had to get it on the radio. Like, this was a huge process. Like, for us, look, Gene, we have a TV show. Look, I just have a TV show. Like, what the heck? It used to be not that easy just to have a TV show that would reach like, you know, thousands of people. Like, crazy. So absolutely, these are tools that we've been given that we can use for good or for evil. You know, it's the same principle as like any gun could be used for horrible evil, or it could be used to, like, you know, defend or in the name of good, right? So it's like this tool that we've been given. And I think like it's amazing that we get to build these alternatives to like the evil dying systems that are just out there, right? Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And yeah, and I think that's what I'm trying to do with my music and with my art, is trying to reclaim the culture that has really been in the hands of the ruling class, the parasite class. I mean, there's a reason why. You just think about like modern music and what is usually on the Billboard charts. I mean, it is just the most degenerate, dumbed down garbage. And it's sad because we're probably around the same age, but like when I was coming up, it was like there was all this great rock and roll on the radio. And you know, like the charts were dominated by the grunge bands. I mean, a lot of them had turned out to be giant sellouts in some ways, but you know, it was the music that we're making was amazing, right? And having Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Stone Temple Pilots be like in the top five, top 10 on the Billboards, where now it's, you know, former Disney stars and Nicki Minaj and the most Little Nas X, like just degenerate, dumbed down, satanic garbage.
Yeah. It's shocking. So yeah, and it's interesting how like wholesome, like good quality music doesn't even break through. Like it's almost like it has to have that like satanic, demonic element to it for it to be popular. Like it has to have a degenerate, like society collapsing message involved in it, or else it won't be promoted or shouted out. If there was like a good, wholesome, beautiful, wonderful song, they'd be like, no, like you just don't hear that. There has to be at least like one element of like degeneracy or subversion in every song. Or it's like,
you have to be giving Satan a lap dance for a major record label to, you know, throw a bunch of money at you and promote you.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, I'm trying to keep the spirit of the 90s and good, music and organic music alive. So there are still, you know, great artists out there that are still making
100%
making music, but it's harder to find, and they're usually not, you know, sitting on the Billboard top 10. But that is changing a little bit. We're at least seeing there's like more, like there's some conservative artists that have been breaking through, and independent artists like Jimmy Levy and my friend Nick Natoli, who I met last summer at the Rebels for a Cause event that I know you attended to. And Nick was also at that American Liberty Awards. Yep. I think that's the last time I saw you. You were in Austin last summer, but you were like,
I was a bit distracted that night. I was
you were like stage managing. Wearing many hats, and you had the earpiece on. So
we were running ragged that night, but that was so much fun. Hey, we're doing it again this year. Mark your calendars. It's October. We're like, it's going to be October this year. So not as scorching hot.
Okay. But, sweet. Well, hopefully Woke Town can get a nomination.
Dude, hey, listen, I got you. Don't worry.
All right. You can put in a word with the Academy of American Liberty Awards.
Well, it's interesting. So we just had our first meeting a couple of weeks ago, and like trying to reassemble the team and figure out how to do it. And it's like, I think what we discussed is like having the Academy being like all the former nominees. So now like it's going to be out. So like, those are going to be the people that are going to be voting. I think don't quote me on it, but that's kind of the consensus I gathered from that. So anyway, maybe I'm spilling the beans here a little bit, but that's all right. But anyway, it's a fun thing. We pulled it off the first one. We had no idea what we were doing. And I think it ultimately was a success, but it was wild. It was crazy. And so now like people took notice of it. And I think we're going to have some people like actually like sponsoring and helping us out this time. And so like, I think this one's going to be like even better. So there you go.
It's awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Dude, it'll be great. Like we'll be looking for musical acts. So there you go.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be in Austin again, being October, will probably be a lot nicer than the middle of August.
I can believe, man,
I love parts of Texas, and the parts of Austin are super cool. I mean, there's so many great restaurants and obviously great music venues and great comedy clubs. But man, yeah, it was like 105 was the coolest day, I think.
Yeah, it was
that weekend.
It was scorching. Yeah, it was kind of a very InfoWars centric event. It was really funny because like because a lot of us are like connected with some of those InfoWars guys. And so they were helping us with a lot of stuff. Like John Bound helped out a lot with stuff. And there was a lot of guys that were working on like graphics and stuff that worked at InfoWars. And it was kind of funny because like Alex got pissed that like his staff was working on And the funny thing is, like, a lot of us that were involved with it are pretty, you know, we give Alex Jones a lot of credit. We're kind of like, you know, I think Alex Jones is like one of the most entertaining person in the world, like by far. Like he's the man, you know what I mean? And it's like, and so like in a lot of ways, we like made the awards for him. Like we gave him the life. We all going into it knew we were going to give him the Lifetime Achievement Award. Like it was like going to be the big honor of the night. And it's like we literally like didn't think for him. But anyway, come to find out, he gets pissed at us because all of his staff was like, what are you guys doing working on this fucking award show? Like just like getting all pissed off. And like, so he boycotted the award show. He didn't show up. Like a lot of the other people were there. Like Owen was there and Harrison was there. Like this.
Oh yeah. The whole time I was like, where's Alex Jones? They were all looking for him.
His son was there. His son came and accepted the award. Right. But Alex himself was pissed and boycotted it. And then a couple days later on the air, he goes, and all these people doing award shows, I can't even believe it. It doesn't do anything. He's like, I'm over here fighting the globalists and they're wasting their time with award shows. And he looks right at the camera and he goes, I will never go to an award show. And he goes, I would rather be executed. And we're like, ah, Alex, bro, what are you doing? Like, it was just so fucking funny. We're like, okay, whatever, dude.
Like, classic, man.
Yeah, oh, it was pretty funny.
Also, I just have to say, amazing t-shirt. I know I told you that before we started, we went live, but killer t-shirt.
It's a great shirt. I got this from when you guys were here in Nashville playing with Brad, Five Times August, and Ryan Christian, all those guys. You guys can get your own over at the, if you guys go to Faithless Town, faithlesstown.com, there's an apparel button at the top. You guys can stock up and get a Woke Town shirt. You can get the classic Faithless Town logo shirt. Look at that right there. Bam. The Live Free shirt.
It is the Live Free shirt.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. Well, thank you for repping the Faithless Town merch, man. And looks good on you.
I wear it all the time.
And that was a fun show. We played the Cobra in Nashville, which hoping to actually relocate to Nashville here soon. So
cool, dude.
So hopefully I'll be playing up there more often. I need to get out of the super woke neo commie Marxist town of Athens, Georgia, where I live currently. It's bad. It's actually, well, living here has helped inspire the song Woke Town.
Gotcha. Yeah, isn't, dude, Georgia's a weird place, man. Like, isn't it like a traditionally like a pretty conservative, like red state that's just been captured by corruption? Or like what's the deal?
I mean, yeah, Georgia as a whole is a red, is always gone red. I don't think it's ever as a state. Well, then again, I mean, a Biden won Georgia. If you believe
that's what
that.
I'm saying. Like, yeah, no, we don't believe that. But at the same time, like, no, it's like,
yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, I don't believe it. But there's pockets definitely where I'm at in Athens, which I always had this dream of living in Athens. It's kind of sad because, you know, Athens historically has had this really thriving, vibrant music community. It's the place that produced REM and the B-52s and Widespread Panic and the Wigs and Drive-By Truckers and all these cool bands to some degree. Even the Drive-By Truckers at this point they should just change their name to the Drive-By Karens. They're like so woke, it's unbelievable. I mean, they're doing songs about like Trayvon Martin on one of their last records, and just seeing any of their posts, if you want to laugh, they're like,
wow,
they're like a Babylon Bee band essentially.
That's wild.
The only ones worse than them are like Billy Bragg, the British songwriter, who's like devoted most of his Twitter feed to, to the trans agenda.
And oh my God.
Going after the TERFs, because how dare these women want to protect women's only spaces?
Oh my God.
Those horrible bigots.
Yeah, they're pretty bigoted. Like, that's the worst. Oh my God. Dude, don't even get me started. We actually had a Jamie Deluxe on the Unjected show last night, and he's, I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but he's a freaking legend. Makes all kinds of funny ass videos, and he was
I follow him on X or Twitter. Yeah,
he's amazing, but like his videos are so good, and he was just calling out all the vax holes in the music industry, and he had some dudes. He's like Dee Snider, I guess, is like the from Twisted Sisters, like the worst of the worst. Like, oh my God, like saying like he can't wait for all the vaccinated people, the anti-vaxxers to die off. Like literally just like the worst stuff you can imagine, dude. Just brutal.
So, oh yeah. I mean, we pretty much we saw almost every a musician, every act, either stay silent or be complicit in it and playing, you know, vaccinated only shows. I mean, that was the thing I faced here in Athens, was the entire town, because it's a college town. And so most of, you know, it's this historically liberal arts and more liberal minded, but that meant something different than it does now. You know, now the modern left, the modern quote liberal, is illiberal. You know, they don't believe, like talking about the trans things, they don't believe in women's rights, right? Mm-hmm. They don't believe in protecting children. They're actually advocating for transitioning children and putting prepubescent children on hormone blockers and on the same chemical castration drugs that they use on convicted pedophiles and rapists. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insanity. They don't believe in freedom of speech.
No.
The modern left is, you know, it's become this abomination, and it is illiberal in pretty much every sense. They're not anti-war. They're not pro-feminist. You know, so, and that's what woke town's about. But this town, Athens, is like a monument to the modern left. Like the mayor here is, you know, we've been in the headlines lately because a 22-year-old student named Lakin Riley was she was killed by an illegal immigrant about 2 or 3 miles from my home.
Wow. I didn't realize that was I didn't make that connection. Wow, that's wild.
Yeah. And you know, this guy was here illegally. His brother actually worked for the UGA cafeteria, the University of Georgia cafeteria. He's also undocumented and has like warrants for a DUI. The other guy had like already been apprehended by the feds and by authorities in other states, and they just let him go. But yeah, so the priorities of the local Athens, you know, mayor and city council is they spent $1 million to set up a government subsidized homeless camp. Well, it's literally just tents on the side of the highway that taxpayers pay for. They also moved a old statue and then closed a town square and painted trans flags on all the walkways. So between the homeless camp and the trans flags and moving the statue, that was about $1 million of tax money.
Damn.
And the entire music scene here is basically run by either Antifa or Antifa sympathizers. So not the best place for somebody that's very, you know, individualistic and liberty minded to be.
Yeah.
But totally. It has inspired me to, I think, you know, make some good art in response.
Good, man. I mean, I believe it. I mean, so much of just podcasting, like just my desire to podcast and just keep this going, was born out of the tyranny and the nonsense. And so it's a great motivator. It's like, and then through all that, I leveled up quite a bit. So it's like, bring on the tyranny, bring on the insanity. I don't care. I'm going to write songs about it. I'm going to make podcasts about it, little mini documentaries. Like, that's what I love doing. And the more tyranny you pour on, the higher the output I get. So just bring it on. And then the more I level up, it's amazing how that works. So just keep on bringing it on. It's pretty awesome. So yeah, we're going to listen to Faithless Town here, for Woke Town here in a second. I was just going to say, so yeah, but I just love the topic of just like, I think that the leftist ideology is so, it's so not based in reality that it blinds them. They have like blind spots to how, like, for example, right? Like I keep hearing these stories about how they're eliminating all of these like competency tests or physical tests or just testing in general. Like in Oregon, they got rid of, you know, certain requirements to get a high school diploma. I heard that in Washington, they're getting rid of, you don't even have to pass a bar exam to become a lawyer. Here in Nashville, the big news headline is that they are eliminating physical ability tests to become a police officer to encourage more women to join the force. And so it's like this idea of like lowering the bar in order to bring in less capable people, right? Now, their rationality is that in their own words, they explain how like minorities can't pass these tests or women cannot pass these tests. And it's like, so our response is to lower the bar. To me, that's racist, saying that you aren't good enough, so we need to lower our standard. Like, that is the most insanely racist thing I've ever heard in my life.
100%. You know, like
it's, and so that's the thing about the left is that they don't understand that they have a supremacist view. They have a supremacist view of minorities in the sense that they view them as less than, and therefore they need to arrive as the savior to save them. If they didn't have this like white savior complex, the white savior complex is born out of their supremacist views that they're better than these people who are less than them and not capable than them, you know? And so it's like the fundamentals of their ideology is based on just absolute racism, and they can't even see it. They can't even see it. There's no way for them to see it. It's like, I would like to go up to them and be like, you know, I actually view like black people are just born with the same opportunity. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah, sure, there's some stuff there, but like, you know, black people are the same as me, you know, it's like, it's great, you know, but like you guys view them as less than. I can't really hang with you guys. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so crazy. It's so crazy.
You're 100% correct. I mean, it is, that mentality is racist. And I mean, yeah. Woke is racist, believing yeah. that, you know, taking, you know, the concepts of Marxism and the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, and then applying that to gender and race and mm-hmm. pitting everybody against each other and saying, if you're born this color of skin, you're just inherently evil and an oppressor. And if you're born with this color of skin, you're inherently oppressed. And that's, yeah. and you are a victim. I mean, yep. that is textbook racism. It's disgusting, man. And we got to get back to a place like reason why, like we were kind of peaking in the 80s and 90s culturally is because yeah. we'd reached a point of colorblindness where we yep. were really
dude.
And you, ahead, you can't be yeah. color. You can't, when you're constantly focusing on race and focusing on the things that make us different mm-hmm. and trying to divide people or bring people in just based upon their immutable characteristics.
Yeah.
We're never going to, we're never going to vanquish and conquer racism. We're never going to get to a place of like unity and social, you know, cohesion.
Yeah, dude, you want to see like one of the best examples of this? So this was actually out in Oregon also. This was a county, like a coastal county. I can't remember which one it was. This was Lincoln County in Oregon. This is so great. This is the best thing ever. This is go down in history is like the most hilarious. Anyway, let's just go to it. So this is CBS News. People of color are, this is 2020, January, June 2020. People of color are exempt from Oregon County's mask mandate. Oh, really? Why just people of color? Oregon County has decided to make people of color exempt from its mask mandate policy, citing the potential for racial profiling. Basically, they're saying that black people look scary in masks, so therefore they don't have to wear them. It's like, because we all think that black people are scary when they wear a mask. It's this racial stereotype that everyone has of the black person that's so scary wearing the mask. So therefore, you guys don't have to wear the mask. You're good. You're good. It's like, Wait. You realize that is racist, right? That is extremely racist right there.
I'm glad that most of the mask insanity is all behind us. Oh, what a dark period in history. The last 4 years have just been such an insane time to be alive.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, at least we're living in interesting times. That's for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Dude, I just have been laughing like, yes. I'll tell you what, though, when I was in Oregon, and I have to say this a lot on the show. I apologize, you guys. But like when I was in Oregon, I was reading the headlines, all these laws they're trying to pass, all these things they're trying to do. And it was so demoralizing. I was just like every day, just like, Jesus, please. Like, how could it possibly get any worse? And the next day it's like, they're trying to do this now. It's like, oh, here in Tennessee, it's the exact opposite. 100%, dude. I mean, if you end up here, you're going to be so stoked. It's just one thing after another. It's like they ban like abortion, then they ban like the defund Planned Parenthood, and then this constitutional carry, and then they're banning mRNA meats. And I'm just like, go.
But you know what? There might have been a recent ruling about biological men or men competing in women's sports.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. That sounds like a Tennessee thing to do. But dude, look at this. I just heard about this on Tuesday night. Look at this. This is the new thing Tennessee is doing. This is House Bill 2063 and Senate Bill 2691. House and Senate bills prohibiting geoengineering experimentation. So they're putting out bills to stop chemtrailing here in Tennessee, dude. Like, what? Are you kidding me?
Who is flying the chemtrail planes? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like who? Where are the? What are those planes? Like,
I don't know.
And like I've noticed it a lot lately. I mean, it's just like X patterns in the sky, yep. crisscrossing. It can be beautiful, clear day, and I'm just like, where? What are those planes? You're just trying to make out what they are. They're not. You know, they're not commercial airplanes.
Yeah.
and like their flight trajectory is so weird. Like, how do we ever get to the bottom of like who is piloting those?
Well, we got to have whistleblowers, man. It's got to be people coming forward and spilling the beans, man. That's really the only way. Like, I'm hoping somebody, some accountability around it. But I mean, it's tough. It's tough to kind of, legislate something when we don't even know what the hell they are. You know what I mean? Like, it's so crazy how there's not been any, like, we speculate and we look into it. And I'm sure there's people listening that are like shouting at their computer screens because they're like, we know exactly who it is. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's definitely been headlines about like cloud seeding and things like that. Yeah. Like China's even, if China's revealing it to the public, it's like they want you to know, and the establishment wants you to know that this is a concept that you should start getting familiar with, right? Mm-hmm. That they are using like weather modification through the airplanes and things that they're spraying into clouds to create rainfall and to affect weather and weather patterns.
Totally. So let's get into it here. So I'm really curious. I don't think I've ever asked you this. So where did the name Faithless Town come from?
Faithless Town came from a song off our first EP that we put out in 2008. And it was, and that EP is like very kind of Americana. And it was, so basically we had a different name. And at the time I realized there was a band in the Netherlands that had the same name as us. Mm. We were the Easy Hearts.
Okay. And
there was a band and somewhere in the Netherlands that had that name and already had a website. And so we needed a name. We're about to finish this EP, and Faithless Town just kind of became it. And it's like any band name. It's just one, it's incredibly hard this day and age to come up with a band name that's not already taken.
Yep.
Right. And then it's just like a name after a while, it just kind of becomes what you do. And I think like I've heard other people say that every band name just sounds kind of stupid when you first hear it, like the Beatles.
Yeah. But, that's such a dumb name.
Anything, Black Crows, anything's just like kind of lame until it becomes a thing that is associated with the music, and then it becomes your brand and what you do. So yeah, that's the story of how Faithless Town became the name of the band.
Amazing, man. I love it. So you've got, like, you guys have had some hits over the years. I've used some of your songs, like, in some of the videos I've made. Like, your New World Order song has always been, like, just such a good song. I love that song so much. But you got this new single out, Woke Town. So tell us about how this song came to be, and then we'll, or what do you want to do? You want to listen to it first, or do you want to talk about it first? But why don't you cue it up, set it up, tell us what we need to know. We'll listen to it, and then we'll discuss.
All right. Cool. So Woke Town is our newest single, came out the end of January. So it's been out here, a month and some change, a couple months. We just hit 55,000 views on Twitter of the music video, which I guess you're about to play the video. And we're somewhere like 4,500 on YouTube. I don't know, on Rumble. But basically, this song is me calling out the modern left and calling them out for their hypocrisy. They say they're all about love and inclusion and tolerance, but they have no tolerance for anybody that has a difference of opinion. They aren't inclusive when it comes to feminists that want to protect women's only spaces. Mm-hmm. They aren't, they're certainly not in favor of bodily autonomy, as we've seen in the last 4 years, as they wanted you to mask up and inject experimental mRNA, gene therapy into your arm with no long-term data. And really no reason to do it in the first place. So this is my critique of the modern left.
Woke All right, down. Let's do it, you guys. I'll see you in a sec.
Nazi scum off our streets! Nazi scum!
They'll tell you that hate has no home here. Where they bully and harass, trying to make you live in fear. They tell you that they're all about diversity and love. Where they burn your business down, lies, scream, shove. There ain't no love in Jesus. God. They worship new idols like Fauci the fraud. They want your muzzle with a mask upon your face. Make sure you're carrying your vax card so it makes them feel safe.
They know love and wolves and they know love and wolves and there ain't no love. There ain't no love. There ain't no love. There ain't no love. If you believe that there are only two sexes, they'll call you a racist, a transphobe, a bigot. And if you don't bend the knee and toe the party line, they'll try to cancel you and ruin your whole life. 'Cause there ain't no love.
Nicely done. Bravo. 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 That was awesome, dude. Like, that video is so funny. I sadly recognize some of those Portland street corners. It's like, oh. You know, it's tough, man. Like, I love that song. That's such a great song, but the video really sells it. There's so many classic moments in there that I hear it in my head. It's ma'am, you know, like all this. It's like, oh.
I was expecting a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
But I haven't really received any. Like, everything I've gotten has been super positive. You know, like, I've had some big influential accounts share it. I had Mark Crispin Miller, who used to be a professor at NYU, who taught a class on propaganda. He basically got canceled by the university because he was speaking out against the masks and the jabs and the COVID tyranny. But I've had a lot of people that have been like super supportive. And of course, like Brad from Five Times August, who sings that little kind of breakdown, like, chorus section, share it. But yeah, I thought I was going to get like a bunch of vitriolic backlash from crazed leftists, but I haven't, because really it just shows them for what they are now. This is what they've become.
It's like the libs of TikTok thing. It's like she's doing is just holding up a mirror being like, here's what you are. How can you get mad at that? Like,
this exactly is
who you
yeah,
are.
It's like, yeah. I'm not taking, I mean, this is, these are their actions. And their own words, like that crazed person with the purple hair after the J.K. Rowling quote. This trans author has actually written like a whole novel about fantasizing about killing J.K. Rowling.
Really? Wow.
People are completely unhinged.
Yeah. See, what is up with that? Like the double standard, like they can make plays about like literally murdering Donald Trump. Like and then like holding his severed head up. Like, it's like, if you pulled any of that stuff with like Biden, like you'd be in Guantanamo Bay, man. Like, no questions asked. Like, it's crazy how there's like this double standard. It's so weird. And it's interesting, but it all stems from, and I think this is one of the ways that we could totally cut them out at the knees, but it's the idea that they position themselves where they have the moral authority. They are the good people. They're the good guys. We're the bad guys. Like, how do we reverse that trend? Like, how do we reverse that trend where they have the moral authority? Therefore, any of their actions are justified. They can carry out violence. They can carry out all these attacks because they are the good guys, because they protect trans and all this stuff. Like, this is, you know what I mean? Like, they have the moral high ground. And therefore, all of their attacks are justified. And so how do we reverse that? It's like we're exposing like, well, they're literal pedophiles. Well, they literally are like criminals and stuff like that. It's like, but how, you know, it doesn't make any sense how they've gained so much ground. It's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we're at a point where they literally want to get rid of the term pedophile and start referring to them as minor attracted people. I mean, that's the level of evil and depravity that we're dealing with now. And it's not really even like a thing about left and right. Right. But it's like those of us that are sane, and then the people that who have been indoctrinated by this cult, and they behave like what you're saying is the people that think that they have the moral high ground and that they're virtuous for doing these things. That's what every fundamentalist believes.
Yeah. I'm trying to send this. I'm going to send this photo here. I'm going to show you. I saw this guy at a concert recently, and I was like, I had to stop and be like, hey, bro, can I take a picture of your shirt? Because, like, this is the most, like,
I think you posted this.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, I did post it. I forget
what it was.
Yeah, I'll show you. But anyway, so I just got to get it from my phone to my computer here. But anyway, yeah, dude, so it was, oh, shit, I just sent that. I sent that to the complete wrong person. Anyway.
Why is this guy sending me this?
Why is it sending me that? That's hilarious. Anyway, yeah, dude. So it's like,
we're dealing with like religious fanatics, but they are people that don't have God, but they needed something to fill that hole. And now woke has filled that hole. And woke is just identity-based Marxism. You know, James Lindsay talks about this a lot. I highly recommend people check out his writings. James Lindsay, of course, was, he was just on Rogan. He had a great conversation.
With really? I didn't know that. Okay, cool.
Rogan's, He had James Lindsay back on, and he also had Riley Gaines, who has been the women's rights, activist, who was also featured at the end of Woke Town, who was the NCAA swimmer who lost her title to this man that's like 6'3", masquerading as a woman. And that's what it is. Like, we just have to, they've been able to push this stuff. You were asked like how they've been able to become like the, I don't know. I guess like the consensus in a way, or like the mainstream culture. One, I think it's been a concerted effort to make that happen, because they are really, you know, these people are being used as useful idiots for a very insidious agenda. And that agenda is to bring about the demolition of the West and of America.
Yep. You know what's really interesting too is that I think there's such a small group of people. Like, I don't think that they have the numbers that they kind of portray in media, because they own the media. They own the algorithms kind of favor them on social media. So it gives this perception that they are larger than they actually are, when they're just like this tiny little screeching, like it's a loud group of just small amount of people. And I think that's, you know, I was going to say, that's probably why you haven't got that much pushback, is because in our minds, they're like this megalithic, like they're everywhere, right? They're the majority. But I really think there's like one out of every 100 maybe think that way. Like, I think there's such a small representation of the overall population that it just kind of just falls under the radar. And then any of these attacks that are, I think it's all just bots, and it's all just fictional, dude. It's all fiction. It's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm completely wrong on that, but it just seems like this guy, this is the guy I was talking about. Look at this guy. I'll go so far as like the people that are like this, and anybody listening, it's just a guy wearing a shirt with a big old knife on it that says protect trans kids. Right now, to me, I'll say this guy is a pedophile right here. This guy is a literal pedophile. Like, what do you even care about?
First of all, there's not such thing. There's not. Yeah. There isn't a thing such as trans kids.
Exactly.
And stop talking about kids and trying to confuse what sex they're in. Like, we need to stop talking about gender in general. Like, gender's just, you know, even the leftists will tell you, or the modern woke left will say it's a social construct, right? That's how they believe that there can be an infinite amount of genders. We shouldn't be talking about gender at all. There's two sexes, and you can't change your sex. Like, no matter what you do, no matter what amount of operations, implants, getting, you know, mutilating your genitalia, it's not going to change your sex. And the thing is, I'm perfectly fine with, if somebody is an adult and they want to cut off their penis and pretend to be a woman, that's fine, as long as they don't try to invade women's spaces, because women didn't consent to that. Like, have you seen this thing at Planet Fitness?
Planet Fitness thing? Yeah, dude, it's a tough one for me because I go to Planet Fitness and I'm like, shit.
You're like, I got to find a new gym now. That's how I am with everything, man. You know how many beers I've had to stop drinking, dude?
See, I quit that game a long time ago. I was tired of going to jail, but that's
I was at a concert. I was like, every beer I saw, I was like, it's Bud Light. I can't have that. It's Miller Light. And it's like, oh, they just did that the commercial with the chick from Broad City that, you know.
It's all tranny piss.
It's all tranny fluid. I'm like, I guess this is a sign from the universe. I should go sober.
Hey, dude, the sober life's the only way to be. I'm telling you, it's the only way to be. But anyway, yeah, man, it's shocking. You know, another thing I was going to tell you too is like when I was living in Oregon, like at the height of all that shit, like the George Floyd riots, 2020, all the stuff going on in Portland, even in Eugene where I was at, man, like it was intense. And like, there was so much uncertainty. Like, it's kind of hard to describe to people like how insane that time was. Like, you had all the mask mandates, you obviously had all the rioting and just all that. You had the election coming up, and it was like, you felt as like a Trump supporter, you felt like if you were, or if you just weren't like a raging liberal, then you like, they would come burn your house down. Or like, they were executing guys in the streets, like just shooting people in the streets that were like Trump supporters. There was one guy in downtown Portland, and they just like straight up just shot him because he was a Trump supporter. You know, like, it was crazy times. Not to mention, there was a few weeks there in that like August, September, I believe it was, where there was like all the wildfires in like Northern California and Oregon. And like, whenever that happens, like the sky becomes like, during the day, because of all the smoke, like the sun coming through, it becomes like red. And so it's like,
oh yeah, man.
I used like to live,
I lived in Los Angeles for like on and off for probably about 8 years.
Yeah.
And I was actually in LA when 2020 happened. Like when it was one of the first places to shut down, and only came back to Athens because that's where my wife grew up here. And we just came back to stay like for the 2 weeks. Right. But yeah, I remember those, you know, there's wildfire season out there.
Sure. Exactly.
In Southern California. And it's like every, you know, it's kind of like in the fall, right?
Yeah. Like right at the end of the summer, fall.
Right at the end of summer, wildfire season. And it's so creepy. You come out and it'd be like noon and it looks like dusk. And sometimes it would even be like snowing ash, depending on how close the fires were or how the Santa Ana winds were blowing stuff in. So you come out and it's like, I'm in LA and it's snowing and it's dark at noon.
Yeah. Dude, exactly. And that, I mean, I just remember very vividly like these days that were like even like bright red with the sun coming out. You know what I mean? It was like, it literally felt like it felt like the most disorienting, just disassociative, like psychotic, like dystopian experience you could imagine. Like, everyone was wearing masks everywhere. And like the tension and like the potential for violence and the uncertainty was so ramped up and so high. It was like so intense. And I was like, so I was like doing some recon, like I need to figure out what these Antifa people are up to. Right. And so I got like infiltrated all of these like Antifa Telegram groups, and I made like a fake profile, and I found some like links to some, and was in there just monitoring their conversation, just seeing what was going on. It's very interesting. Like, they're very organized. They're very coordinated. They have almost like military style tactics and training and stuff. Like, it's very, very interesting, like how that all was. And one of the things that struck me too is that a big element to their kind of tactics is they say that the property damage, like creating like breaking property, like damaging businesses, spray painting, all that stuff is a tool that they use to like keep property value low. So it's a very intentional, deliberate thing that they can like, that's the way they stick it to the man, is that as long as there's like property crime and tagging in certain areas, then it's going to prevent the property value from going up. So
prevent gentrification, right?
Yep, exactly.
The oppressed minority population can still live in those areas.
Yep. And so it's very much a part of their, you know, tactics to go into these areas that are, you know, potentially getting gentrified and to just wreak havoc. And I don't know, like, it seemed like there was a little bit of that going on with the, because you see like in that, that's what reminded me watching your video. It's like, you know, they're breaking out these windows, but then they're going in and stealing, you know. It's like, you know, there's other agendas at play too. It's not just the ideology, but the ideology is a great excuse to be just a blatant criminal. You know what I mean?
Well, the ideology is telling them that everything needs to lead to revolution, right?
That
the whole system is corrupt and it's predicated upon oppression and white supremacy, and that it has to be torn down. Mm-hmm. But they don't, they're not really sure what replaces it, because they can't build. They're good at destroying.
Absolutely.
They're good at destruction, but they're not good at actually, you know, putting a plan into place of like what replaces this, right? They're not trying to build parallel societies or communities.
No, they're building tent cities. That's about the best they can do. You know?
Exactly.
Dude, those tent cities in Portland, like if that's the society, that, I mean, they tried to do it like that CHOP place up in Seattle. Like they tried to build a parallel society.
they're doing it here in Atlanta too, in the forest, which is like the whole cop city, the you know thing. I mean, it's terrifying. Like here in Athens, there's an organization that literally is run by one of the staff writers for the local paper, at least a contributing writer. It's called Mutual Aid Athens. They doxed me, labeled me and the band Nazis because we were against medically segregated shows and forcibly masking people and asking people for their papers. You know, that's so fascist to not do what the government is forcing you to do, telling you to do. What the peak, the epitome of fascism. But yeah, these people are insane. And you look at their post. I mean, it's about, you know, making sure that, you know, children have access to puberty blockers and gender affirming care. They also call for, I mean, it's insane. They're the first to call out like anybody like David Icke for being anti-Semitic, but then they're, you know, calling for basically the destruction of Israel and, the hypocrisy is just rampant.
Oh, hypocrisy is like the they didn't have hypocrisy, but that's, again, it falls back on the idea, like they can't even see it. Like their ideology prevents them from seeing the hypocrisy or the blatant, like, how their policies go directly against what their ideology actually is. Like, it's just so shocking, man.
And if they would just stop and think, like, everything that they're doing is fully, completely in line with what the 1% wants, right? And that's why, like, even like actual Marxism would be better, because they would at least be thinking about, like, how do we screw over Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and George Soros and these multi-billionaires? But instead, they're just focusing on like the white mechanic down the road.
Yep.
He's the oppressor,
not exactly.
The people with all the wealth. And the people with all the wealth, the majority of the wealth, they're the ones that want population control. They want less people breeding. They want to attack the nuclear family. All these things that the leftists are pushing for
is
completely in line with what the parasite class wants.
Exactly.
But they're too wrapped up in it to just stop and think. They keep thinking they're the minority. They have big tech on their side. They have the media on their side. They have the government on their side. It's like, you're not the oppressed. You are actually the brown shirts.
Yeah.
You know, you are the stormtroopers of the empire.
Yeah. And it's like, go.
No, that was it.
Okay. Well, it's just so interesting how they've like captured all of these, like they've taken the rainbow. Like, how did they get that? Like, damn it. I want the rainbow back. Rainbow's cool. Like, how did they get it? Anyway? But then the idea of they've taken the word liberal, right? So libertas, right? It means to be free, right? Freedom, liberty, you know, liberal used to have a different meaning and a different connotation, right? But they've bastardized it and co-opted it. And so it's like at the very end of your Woketown video, it says, make the left liberal again. Like, you know, explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got it. That the left is no longer liberal, and liberalism should be about, you know, freedom of speech, individual rights. A lot of the things that came out of the Enlightenment, individuality, reason, logic, objectivity, objective truth. And all these things are under attack by this thing that is wearing the costume of the liberal. It's wearing the costume of Team Blue. And I think that's been a thing too, where it's like a lot of people, like these old boomer liberals, they haven't even noticed that, like, they've become their team has become this illiberal authoritarian mob. But because it's still dressed up in the blue suit and it's still Democrat, and they still believe it's like, this is the party of the union and the working class and for the minority, and we're for civil rights, and it like goes past them, even to the point where it's like, you can show them, it's like, look, here's rallies where there's a gay pride rally and this woman has a 1-year-old and she's going around saying it's a they them, and that their one-year-old is trans. I mean, you're talking about really like kind of the sexual identity of your one-year-old. And it's not just their biological, like, oh, it's a beautiful girl. You have a beautiful baby girl. I mean, these people have gone full off the script. So yeah, man, it is time to make the left liberal again. And I think people on the left have to hold them accountable the same way that, like, I think the LGB community needs to say, like, enough with the trans insanity. Like,
there you go.
Like, it's, you know, they have to start calling that. Women have to start standing for feminism again, like actual classic feminism of, like, equality between the sexes and women's only spaces and the things that women fought, you know, were hard won successes for them that are now all being written away by this new woke left. That really, like you said, like, they're racist because they see minorities as being helpless and that they need to be offended for them, and they need to be the one that, you know, makes special exemptions for them.
Yeah.
Well, they're also the people that are destroying women's spaces and women's sports and women's safety and allowing men to do it. So they're misogynists too.
Yeah. Yeah, or, like, you know, it's just insane, man. Like, it's just beyond insane. And I think it's just to the point where it's like, I don't even know the solution other than just laughing at them, making fun of them, and just, like, making memes about it. Like, that's always, I mean, that's how we're going to win this thing. It's just memeing our way out of it, writing songs about it. Like, you know, we don't have to do anything to these people. Like, they literally can actually just go do their own thing and make their own little, what are your thoughts, like, on, like, secession? Like, let's let them have California and New York. I mean, yeah, those are great places. How about you guys have them? We'll build a giant wall. We will actually build a wall between us and California. You guys can have the whole damn thing. It's the most beautiful place in the world, but you guys can just fucking have it. Okay. And we'll check in 10 years and we'll see how everybody's doing. Right. How about that? Just let them have their thing. Let them have their thing. What are your thoughts on all that? Or do you think that there's a way that we could reconcile this? Like, what do you think? One last thought on that before I turn over to you on that question. All of a sudden, I see myself on the same side as a lot of these lefties in terms of, like, the genocide happening in Gaza. It's like, damn, now the Young Turks and I are saying the same thing. How the fuck did that happen? So anyway, what do you think? Yeah, are you reconciling with these people, or is it too, should we just give them California, or what do you think?
Yeah, no, and I'm right there with you when it comes to Israel and Palestine.
Yeah.
And I think American tax money needs to stop funding that, and it needs to stop funding military interventions in other countries, and we need to take a look at all the problems that we have here and deal with them. And we definitely don't need to be funding any wars, whether that's in Israel or in Ukraine or anywhere else on the globe. So but yeah, you know, I often, over the last few years, I've often fantasized about, is there a place that's completely not woke, that's not captured yet, or there's not even that element of wokeness that I could just go to?
And rural Tennessee, baby. Maybe not Nashville, but rural Tennessee, I'm telling
you. Okay. Yeah. And that's, you could probably say that about a lot of rural Georgia,
too, yeah,
and definitely parts of Florida. But it's just like there's still those elements, like, you know, there's pockets, like, here in in Athens. But yeah, I would like for us to have a reconciliation. I think we need to get back to a place where we have some kind of, you know, there's a cultural commonality that we share, that we're, and we used to have that. That's why when we look back in, like, the 80s and 90s, it was such a, there wasn't this constant high anxiety and this constant strife and this constant polarization with everything, because we were Americans. You know, we felt, we believed in that. And, you know, we hated the Russians and we were worried about the Cold War, but we were together as one country, and black and white. And it wasn't completely perfect, but it wasn't just constant seeing, focusing on our differences. And I would love for us to get back to that place and trying to reach a place of color blindness and, you know, judging people upon their character and not their immutable characteristics, like Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream, right? And which was liberal at a point, and that was liberalism. I would love for that, but the left has to, these people have to be willing to come to the table, and they're not willing to do that. You know, I've seen that on a personal level. And then you see it also just with the screeching mob online. They don't want to debate. Like, it's even, they will cancel people just for going on a show and having a conversation. Like, you're bad, you know, you're guilty by association, just you know, because you went and you were on InfoWars and Alex Jones is a conspiracy theorist, so you're canceled. Like, you, they don't want, we need to bring back civility and civil debate and be able to disagree with each other and let these ideas battle themselves out in the marketplace of, you know, of ideas and free exchange. But they know that their ideas won't win, their arguments won't win, so they don't do that.
It's a good point, man. I mean, I've seen it a little bit. InfoWars, but ironically, has hosted a couple of, like, debates lately. Like, a couple, I can't even remember their names. Like, some, like, big lefty people, like, went in studio with, like, Alex and one of the other hosts, and they got into some debates, and it was, like, very interesting stuff. And of course, they got taken to town because they have no idea what they're talking about. But these are, like, big influential people, so I got to give them credit for that. But it's like, I think you're dead on, man. Like, that is literally the solution right there. Like, the censorship is what's destroying everything. It's because, like, you're not even able to hear one side of it. I mean, that's really when it all started going downhill, is in the just the proliferation of just the mass adoption of censorship, where that just became normal. Like, how did that become normal? So until we can get past that, then I think we can't have the debates, we can't have the conversations. And so, you know, I challenge anybody, like, if you disagree with me, reach out to me, I'll have you on the show. Like, anybody, like let's open up avenues to have conversations about this stuff, you know? So, and that's it. I love it. All right. Well, Gene, tell everybody where they can find you and support you, man. Like, this has been great.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah. Thanks again for having me, man. It's been a pleasure. This hour is blown by.
Yeah, I know.
You can find our website's faithlesstown.com, which Scott has up on the screen right now. You can also find us on all the socials at faithlesstown.
Cool.
Please give us a follow. If you want to support what I do and support my music and my band, please consider, you know, buying some physical merch, like that awesome shirt that Scott's got on, or, you know, buying our songs on iTunes. We actually, you know, see that money. I see that money, and that helps to recoup the cost that I put up to record music. You can also give artist donations. There's links to that through our website, through Gibson Go. And yeah, just, you know, keep fighting the good fight. We got three. I'm in the studio right now working on a batch of new songs. One's a very anti-reset, anti-WEF song. So I'm very excited for that to see the light of day. And hopefully that'll come out this summer.
Cool, man. Well, I absolutely cannot wait. And we've got some other fun stuff in the works, but I'm keeping the lid tight on that. So anyway, but all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. You guys, please go follow and support Faithless Town. Go give them a follow on all the socials. Go download the music, share the music. That's the most important thing, you guys. Like, get the music out there. Like, send the links to your friends, like on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, like wherever. Just if you know somebody that might enjoy this, like, share it in your Telegram channels, just post a link to the video, the YouTube video. Just, like, let's get the music out there. That's the most important thing, is to get the music out there. And then, of course, please go support. So, all right, guys, I think that's it I got for this week. I'm going out of town this weekend. I'm going to go check out, actually, I'm going to be down near Georgia. I'm going to be down near the Georgia border this weekend, checking out this intentional community type of thing. I got invited to go check it out. I have no plans of doing anything like that anytime soon, but making the road trip about 3 hours this weekend to go check it out. So I don't know. That's going to be fun. I'm not going to leave in here anytime soon, but I just kind of want to get a feel for what that's like. You know, I don't know, maybe get some ideas, but I'll catch you guys all next week. I got, I can't remember what I got, but anyway, it's going to be an awesome episode, guaranteed. All right, guys, until next time, keep it real. I'll talk to you later. Peace.